My name is Betty Chittenden, and I live in Victoria Road in Malden. But when I was Betty Askew, I was born down on the Causeway. Lived there with Mum and Dad. Dad was a Malden man, apprenticed in his youth to Walter Cook's boatyard. But when he finished his apprenticeship, he went off and joined the Metropolitan Police. As he was 6'5", I think he got in pretty easily. And while in London, he renewed the friendship with my mother's family, who had once stayed in Malden when they were both children. And eventually they got engaged, came down to Malden, were married in Malden Register Office, which used to be in Gate Street, and went to live on the Causeway. It was an awfully damp house. It had been flooded in 1932. We were told up three stairs the water went, but how accurate that was, I don't know. But it was still a very pleasant place to live, the Causeway. It was a little community all of its own where we all knew everybody else, because we were cut off at one end by the level crossing that went to the station at Malden East. And we were cut off at the other end by the creek, which has now been dammed and is no longer there. It used to flood Heybridge Street regularly, which was why it was cut off. And one of the interesting bits about that creek was that there was a little bridge over it, a little brick bridge. And in the middle of the bridge was a white brick. And that was the boundary between Heybridge and Malden, we were told. That's where Heybridge started. And when we were kids, we used to stand, as kids do, with one foot in Malden and one foot in Heybridge.
Betty, could you describe the Causeway? Perhaps starting at the Malden town end.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you remember? What buildings were there?
You couldn't see the station from there, from the level crossing. But you could, from the level crossing, you could look down onto the lower road where traffic and pedestrians could go if the level crossing was shut. We kids used to like to get under the bridge when the train was going over, because it was a metal bridge and it rattled like mad when the train went over, and it was just fun to be under there. So you could see that from up on the top road, as we called it. And then looking ahead towards Heybridge, it was just a row of houses. There was a garage on the left and a couple of houses, but nothing else on the left until you got nearly to Heybridge. And the right was just rows of cottages, some of them terraced like ours. We were in a terrace of six. And it was a tree-lined road in those days. It was lovely. Fields, empty field at the front, and empty fields at the back. Right behind the houses there were allotments, about three deep, I think, before you got to the fields. We all knew who all the allotments belonged to. That was fun.
And did your family have an allotment?
My dad had two before the war, yes. Yeah. Grew loads of vegetables because he was out of work for a year, I think, after they were married. And he poached. The meat was poached and the vegetables were grown on the allotments. And then the fields beyond belonged to John Sadd and Sons, the timber merchants. And stored over in those fields were trees, newly cut down trees, stored there for years to mature, for the wood to mature properly. And we used to be able to climb over these great piles of logs, as we called them, highly dangerous, crawl underneath them into the caves formed. Yeah. Health and safety, no, nothing like health and safety. We had a couple of bus stops on the Causeway, one at each end. I think there was one in the middle at one time as well. Yes, there was, near our house. And in the middle there was a telephone box as well. And then you just went on towards Heybridge.
And you must have had lots of friends, lots of other children.
Yes, there were a whole lot of us, all born about the same time. About 10 of us, all round about, within 2 or 3 years of each other. So we all played in South Meadows together. And One time I can remember that SADS had a huge crane over there to move the trees. It stood on three towers, balanced on three huge towers. And one of the boys in the Causeway gang, when a ladder got left behind, after the men had been working there, climbed up onto one of these towers.
Really?
And climbed out on the jib of the crane. I can see all us kids now in a ring looking up at this boy climbing the jib of this crane. Again, health and safety. No
oh
such
my
thing.
Goodness. What an amazing memory. Yes. And all you children, you all went to the same school, the primary school?
Most of us went to Heybridge School, yes. There were one or two later on who came up to All Saints, but the ones who were all my age all went along to Heybridge School.
Yes, yeah.
And, of course, there were no school dinners when we went to school, so we walked from the causeway round to opposite where the Bent Hall Centre is now, which was our school, and walked back at dinner time and back again after dinner and back again after school.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a five-year-old, that was quite a lot of walking.
It was.
Yes, it was. It was.
So good memories of your primary school days?
Most of them, yes. Yeah. Quite a lot of memories of the war.
I was going to say.
The shelters in the playground and running across to the shelters. And at one time, not getting over to the shelter with all the rest of the children. I'd gone to school in wellies, and I needed to get into them to go across the playground, and I was having a struggle with them, and I got left behind. And while I was struggling with my wellies, a German plane was shot down and came down in Goldhanger Road,
really?
Which is not far from the school. So when we came out at lunchtime after the air raid was over, all the mums were at the gates waiting for us. Because they'd all been scared. They'd seen the plane came down in the area where we were. But we were okay, and I don't think anyone was hurt. I think it came down in a field, but it was behind Goldhanger Road.
Were many children evacuated?
No. We had evacuees come down to Malden.
Right, okay.
We had one evacuee in our class who became my close friend. She lived in Crescent Road. And I kept in touch with her for years after the war.
Oh,
yes,
lovely.
Yes, Joan. That was lovely. Another vivid memory of the war, besides the Goldhanger Road one, was the first time we heard a doodlebug. It came over the causeway, apparently, we heard afterwards, and actually the engine stopped and it came down at Wickham Bishops. But the thing was that we had what we called the scullery at the back of the house, and it had no lining inside the roof, so you looked up inside and saw the slates. And as this doodlebug went over, making an incredible noise itself, the slates all rattled, and the racket was indescribable. It was so frightening. Very vivid memory. I'm sure we heard lots more doodlebugs after that, but still remember that one so vividly.
Betty, for just to clarify things, can you describe what a doodlebug was?
Virtually like an aeroplane with no pilot. It was a non-piloted bomb. The whole thing was a bomb.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And talking about your house there in the causeway, I guess that you didn't have indoor toilets?
No, we had a toilet right down the bottom of the garden. With a bucket, which was emptied twice a week by the night soil men. What a job. Can you imagine having that job? Dreadful. No running water indoors when Mum and Dad first went there. And I can still remember Mum having to go out and filling buckets from an outside tap that we shared with two of the other neighbours. And then every drop of water, because there's no sink or anything indoors, every drop of water that you used had to be taken out in another bucket and tipped on the garden. And that went on for many years.
Have you ever had a chance to go back to that house since you lived there as a child?
Yes. A few years back when I was a volunteer at the museum, I was on reception and got talking to a lady who came in. We used to have lots of lovely chats with the visitors. And we got talking about Old Malden, and I said I used to live on the causeway, and she said, did you? Whereabouts? And I said, number 54. And her mouth fell open, and she said, that's where I live.
Oh my goodness.
And we went on talking about it, and I was invited to go down and see it, and it was wonderful. Where the old scullery, where we heard the doodlebug going over, where the old scullery was, that had all been knocked down, and there was a new kitchen, a proper kitchen, not like the one we had, and a bathroom, and a third bedroom had been built over the bathroom and kitchen, and I was taken upstairs and saw my old bedroom that I used to sleep in when I was little, and it was lovely.
And it brought back lots of memories.
Yes. And it was lovely to see it, such a nice little home, because the two small rooms, the front room and the kitchen, the middle room as we called it, had been knocked into one. So it was a lovely room. And it had got a bathroom inside, which my poor mum didn't ever have.
Yeah. That was an amazing coincidence.
It was. It was.
That particular lady.
That particular
came
lady.
Came into the museum when you were there.
Yes. Yeah, it was good. I left Heybridge Primary School at 10. You could in those days, because you could sit for what we called the scholarship then. When you were 10, you didn't have to wait until what became the 11 plus. So I went off to Malden Grammar School at 10 years old, walking all the way from the Causeway to Fanbridge Road every day. Loved it. And very sad when it actually became a comprehensive, because so much of the old traditional stuff was lost. We were all divided up into three houses named after the founders of the school, Breda and Wentworth and Plume. And it was just so good, and it was such a sad thing that it was all lost, all those house things. Because we had nicknames for other people. I mean, if you were in Breda, you were Breda Best, but the rest called you Breda Bugs. And if you were in Plume, it was Plume Perfect, but the rest called you Plume Pigs. And if you were in Wentworth, it was Wentworth Workers, but the rest called you Wentworth Worms. that was a memory that's never gone.
And was there quite fierce competition between...
Oh, yes, on sports day, and there were points for work as well. Every now and again there would be an announcement in assembly in the morning saying there were so many points for work for Wentworth Blue Breeder. Breeder didn't do all that well on sports day. I can't ever remember us winning while I was there, but I wasn't any good anyway, so I didn't make any contribution. Sport was not my thing. But I left the grammar school when I was 15, because I left in the July and wasn't 16 until the October. And I was going to be a children's nurse with Dr. Bernardo's. We'd had a talk at the school by someone from Bernardo's, and I decided I wanted to be a children's nurse. And I went up to Stepney and was interviewed, and it was all fine, but I was rejected on medical grounds, just a trivial thing which always niggled a bit. But then I didn't know what to do with myself, didn't know what else I wanted to do. And the headmistress, Mrs. Cowell, who was in charge of girls' careers, if anybody didn't know what to do, she suggested County Hall. And off we went to County Hall. There were three of us that year.
In Chelmsford.
In Chelmsford, yes. I went into the driving licence department down in the basement, writing what used to be in those days logbooks, logbooks for new cars. But I settled down quickly, because on my first day, my boss in the logbook department said, Askew, do you come from Malden? And I said, yes. He said, was your father's name Arthur? And I said, yes. Oh, I knew your dad when we were boys.
Oh, nice.
And that was lovely. I always wish that I'd asked him more about my dad, but you don't. When you're a new employee with a boss you're a bit scared of, you don't ask.
Because your father had died quite young, did he?
He was killed in the war. Yes, yeah. So I would have liked to collect other people's memories of him, but I wasn't old enough or appreciative enough of memories in those days to seek them. It would have been good. Yes, Dad was killed when I was 10.
Oh, dear.
He was on a ship in the Mediterranean that was going from North Africa to the Sicily landings, a whole fleet of them. And that was the only ship that the Germans caught. They torpedoed it. And a lot of men were lost. A great number of men were lost. He was in the Royal Engineers, the dock group, and they were going ahead of the rest to prepare the landing for all the rest to come in. But he was killed. Other Malden men on the ship were saved, but I didn't ever get to talk to any of them to ask what happened to Dad. I think Mum did, but I didn't ever hear anything about the talk.
No.
So I didn't ever know what happened to Dad. But I did find out by going on the web in much later years that the ship was actually sunk at breakfast time and a lot of the men were below decks having their breakfast. So it may have been instant. When the torpedo hit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can just hope that for that kind
yes.
of thing, of course. How long did you stay at County Hall?
A couple of years, till I was nearly 18, and I knew that my meals in the canteen were going to cost more, my insurance stamp was going to cost more, everything was going to go up except my wages. So I decided to try and get a job in Malden to save the money on the bus fares. Because in those days, I used to have a weekly ticket.
Yes.
And it cost 10 shillings for six journeys back and forth to Chelmsford.
That's quite a lot of money.
It was, it doesn't sound much now, 50p. But it was a lot of money then when I was only earning £3.15 shillings a week with all these bits taken off. So I got a job in Malden High Street in the Essex and Suffolk Insurance Office, which was over the Parish Hall.
Ah.
The Parish Hall, which has been Morrison's and then another shop.
Yes, and the old post office.
It was the post office at one time, yes. And the office windows looked out over the high street. I used to have to go across the road to a little cafe called Volta's and get coffee for my boss because I was the office junior. That was one of my jobs. And I didn't stay there. I only stayed there a couple of years because there was no hope of any promotion. There was just me and the secretary and the boss, who was one of a Malden family, the Balls family. He was Jimmy Balls. There were about four brothers, I think. And that was Jimmy. And I got a job then at Bentall's, which was in Heybridge, and where farming machinery was made.
Quite close to home then.
Quite close to home, yes. Five minute walk at the end of the day, the best bit. And I was in the sales office, the home sales office.
And were you busy there?
Yes. I was in the complaints department.
Oh, dear.
So if a muck spreader on a farm somewhere went wrong, it was my boss who got the complaint and had to organise somebody to go out and see to it. And I would write the reports when the engineer came back.
Did they sell just in this country or all over the place, all over the world?
I don't think they sold much farming machinery abroad, but they sold machinery for making coffee, for dealing with coffee. That was quite a big business in the export department, yes.
And not too many complaints about the coffee makers.
I don't know. I wasn't in export, so I didn't know what went on there.
You were telling me the other day about telephone numbers.
Oh, yes. Yes, working in the Essex and Suffolk Insurance Office, we were Malden 21, and I used to have to make calls to Crick and Freeman's, the solicitors in Gate Street, which was Malden 6, and Bright and Sons, the solicitors at the West Square end of Gate Street, which was Malden 3. And I've got an idea that the doctors at the time, which was up the little lane, which is now called Bright's Lane or something like that, where all the little shops are. There was a little surgery up there. And I've got a feeling that was more than eight, but I'm not absolutely sure about that. But I definitely remember more than six and more than three. Yeah. And Bentor's was more than two.
Oh,
yes.
Was it?
Yes, yeah, originally.
And was there a more than one?
I don't know.
I wonder.
I don't know. I wonder who was more than
exactly.
one.
Going back to, you mentioned the parish hall.
Yes.
How was that used? That was the church hall?
It was the church hall, but the one thing that I remember most of being about it being used, it was the scene for the modern pantomime every year. And my very first pantomime that I went to, and always remember it, was Cinderella. I'd never seen a pantomime before. I was absolutely thrilled to bits. And loved the ugly sisters. And I found that one of them was a Malden bus driver. I used to see him on the bus afterwards, and I always thought of him as the ugly sister. He was a big, tall, dark man, and he'd been dressed up as a woman, and it was very, very,
very funny.
My working time at Bentall's was interrupted when I caught TB. The mass X-ray unit came round to the factory, and we all trooped across, all merry and bright, had our X-rays taken, and I was called back and got teased about that, was told, oh, you must have moved, you know. But when I got up to St Peter's and saw the doctor on my 20th birthday, I was told that I had got very early TB.
Oh, my goodness.
I had a couple of months in bed at home. They thought I just rest might do it, but it had progressed a bit instead of getting any better. So the day after Christmas that year, 1954, I went to Black Notley Hospital, and I was there for 10 months.
Really?
And then had a couple of weeks convalescence in their convalescent home down at Clacton.
Yes.
Which was good, right on the front at Clacton. It was lovely. And then after a few months at home, went back to Bentall's again. Yeah, they took me back.
And
they were very good, because I'd only been there a few months when it was diagnosed, and they paid my full salary for quite a few months, and then half salary, which was very good.
Yeah,
they were
bad.
Very good.
What was the treatment in those days?
It was called, you were given an artificial pneumothorax.
Right.
Air was pumped into the space between your lungs and into the pleural cavity.
Yeah, yeah.
And that pushed the lung down so that it wasn't expanding and when you breathe. And it had a chance to rest so that the lesion could heal.
Yeah.
And I had that treatment. It was continued after I came home.
Right.
I had my lung collapsed, as they called it, for 3 years.
Really?
So I was going up to St Peter's every Wednesday afternoon for 3 years. Even when I went back to Bentall's, I was having a couple of hours off to walk from Bentall's to St Peter's in Spittle Road and walk all the way back to Bentall's to start work again afterwards. Yes.
Yeah. And in hospital, I suppose there was lots of fresh air.
Yes, a great deal of very fresh air. Yeah. Yes, the wards were all open to the air and snow on the end of the beds one night. Yes, and when I went in just after Christmas, paper trains rattling in the wind that was coming in the open doors. The thing that always amused us all was that in the winter, when the visitors came, they shut the doors to keep them warm. So they were shut up in the warm wards with our germs, which always seemed a bit ridiculous. But we enjoyed the warmth for a couple of hours. We only had visitors on Wednesday afternoons for a couple of hours and on Sundays for an hour in the morning and a couple of hours Sunday afternoon. That was all we had. There were lots of people from the East End there. And they used to organise coaches. The parents and relations all used to come down on the coach. There were three ordinary TB wards of girls, all girls. And there was a maternity TB ward as well.
Really?
Yes. That was across the field from us. We could see it across a big open field in front of us.
Wow. Mm. That was a long time, wasn't it, that you had to...
10 months, yeah. But it wasn't all that bad. We were all young. We had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. Mm. The nurses were the same nurses with us all the time, so we got to know them all, and lots of jokes. We had an Irish sister. Very Irish. We used to have a throat swab taken every now and again, and she would stand at the end of the ward and shout, "Trots!" with her broad Irish accent. Going back to my childhood, milk supplies on the causeway came from a farm in Holloway Road, run by a gentleman called Mr. Lappage, who used to come round with a horse and cart, with a huge churn on the back of the cart, from which he filled a smaller churn and carried it, that one, round the back of all the houses, with a pint measure slung on the side, and all the housewives would have their jugs out, and a pint of milk went into the jug, or whatever you wanted. Still warm, very often, from the cow. Very, very creamy. No cream removed or anything. It was absolutely gorgeous. But the only thing in the summer was it had to be boiled at night because it would go off overnight. So I didn't ever get my drink of milk with my breakfast because I didn't like boiled milk. But I can still taste it, and it was lovely, lovely milk. And also on the causeway, John Sadd and Sons, the timber merchants, built a power station in the meadow behind the houses. And this was run on sawdust, purely on sawdust, burning the sawdust that was produced with sawing up all the huge great trees that came into the factory. And I understand, I didn't know this, but I understand that part of Malden was supplied from this little power station. There are photographs apparently in existence of wiring being installed across the river at the bottom of the hill to supply part of the town, which I didn't know about.
That's remarkable, isn't it? Sawdust.
Yes, sawdust. And thinking of electricity, our cottage on the causeway, Mum was told by a neighbour that it had been, the electricity in there had been installed by a Sadd's apprentice, and it was pretty ramshackle. The switch in my mother's bedroom was hanging off the wall, so you could see the wires behind it, so you had to treat that a bit carefully. And then there was another switch down in the kitchen that was made of brass, and you handled that very carefully, or you got a little shock. And then the one point for electric appliances in the house was a little 2-pin socket over the kitchen table where Mum plugged her iron in. And that was the only electrical appliance in the house, which seems remarkable nowadays. And then I was thinking about the co-op and how big Malden was with co-ops. It was really a cooperative town. I think of the little dividend slips that you were given every time you bought something in the co-op. And Mum kept all these in a vegetable dish on the dresser in the kitchen. And I can't remember what sort of correspondence came that told her how much dividends she was going to get. But whenever it came, all these little slips came out of the vegetable dish, and Mum, in her head, counted up what she'd spent to make sure that her divvy was going to be right. That's just a memory of marvelling at Mum being able to add up all these figures, in old pence, of course, in her head. But going back to the co-op, the top of Market Hill was almost completely given over to the co-op. What is now the bed shop was, one half of it was a ladies' outfitters, and the other side was a gents' outfitters. And in the middle, there was a little passage that went to a flight of stairs, and upstairs was the co-op bank. I didn't know that when I was young, but after I got married and found my husband had a co-op bank account, that was where we had to go to draw out any money. up the stairs between the gents and the ladies' outfitters. And I don't remember when it closed, but opposite the outfitters, there was a Co-op grocery. But I don't remember that as I got older. I remember the outfitters still being there, but I don't remember the grocery shop still being there. And then over it, there was a hall that you could hire that belonged to the co-op too, called the Assembly Rooms. And that was hired for all sorts of things, including my wedding. Our reception was held in the co-op assembly rooms.
Is that where the town hall now is?
No, no. Immediately opposite the bed shop.
Right.
It's a building that's recently been completely altered and done up. And next door to that is the co-op funeral parlour. But there was something else in front of that when I was young. Now where there's a big car park in front of it, there was something else there, but I can't remember what it was. Whether that there was a co-op shoe shop somewhere at the top of Market Hill. So maybe that's where the shoe shop was. And then a little bit further along, there was a co-op sweet shop. And then there was a big hall, which is now the site of the town hall, that was called the Jubilee Hall. And when I was young, that was almost the second Woolworths. It was equipped exactly like Woolworths, with the counters all laid out in exactly the same way, with a big central one that you could walk all the way round with the assistants in the middle taking your money and so on. I don't know whether that belonged to the co-op or not. Didn't ever know who that belonged to. And then the one little shop that didn't belong to the co-op was the cycle shop, where it's now opticians. And then where Coe's the Outfitters is, was the co-op hardware shop and furniture. And it was good, the co-op, in those days. My husband and I bought a kitchen table and chairs and a square of carpet there, I remember, in 1969. And I've still got them all. They're still going strong after nearly 50 years. So the co-op was good. And further down the high street, there was the baker's. I can't remember them having a vegetable shop, and yet I bet they did, because they just had everything, except the holiday shop, which they've got now. What do you call it? You don't call it a holiday shop, I can't even...
Travel agents.
It's the holiday shop to me. And I was talking to someone else about this who said, and I said that I don't remember a butcher's. And they said, oh yes, the co-op that's now down on the corner of Munden Road,
yes,
that was a butcher's. Because he remembered being a Saturday delivery boy and taking out deliveries of meat from there. So the co-op had just about everything.
Yes, yes. Gosh. Are there any other shops in the high street that you recall apart from the co-op branch? Various branches. There was a Woolworths.
Yes.
There must have been other grocers.
Yes, probably. And there was a fish shop with the fish all laid out on the slab, open to the rest of the road and the traffic and everybody going by.
The fumes.
Just like the butchers used to be, with all the carcasses hanging outside in with all the flies and everything else. Well, that makes me think of something else in Heybridge too. I always think of this. There was right on the corner of Hall Road and Heybridge Street, there was another co-op, a co-op grocer's. And then there was a row of little cottages going down behind it. And their backyards, you saw them as you looked down the row. And then, just like us, there were bucket toilets the other side of the backyards. And then the next shop was a co-op butcher's again. So you had these outdoor toilets with the buckets in right next to the butchers with the carcasses all hanging up. But we all survived.
Of course you did.
Yes, we became immune to it all. Yeah.
Betty, now, to bring us a bit more up to date, I know you were a member of the Malden Society
for
quite a few years.
Yeah, quite a number of years. With my husband, to start with.
Right, yeah. And any memories, any... reminiscences, stories?
Lots of memories, yes. We were introduced to the Malden Society by June and John Prime, who we'd become friendly with, and they encouraged us to go along. Mrs. Backus was the chairman at the time. And I think we met in the hall in Church Street, which is now the Muslim headquarters. I'm almost certain it was there. And then later on, we were in a big hall up just off the top car park before we went round to the URC. And that one of the things, I was treasurer for quite a while, but one of the things I did after my husband died was I joined June and John on Monday afternoons indexing photographs that John had been given to record for the society. He would get a big batch of photographs given him. He would take copies of them. June and I would sit at the table writing index cards, saying where each picture was taken, if there were people in the picture, naming them if we knew who they were, who had loaned the pictures. It was a complete detail of every picture. And I spent many, many Monday afternoons with June sitting at that table. She was very kind to me after my husband died. She would say, well, if you're coming down to do the cards, stay on and have a meal with us afterwards. And we had the cards in shoe boxes, and there were hundreds of them.
I can imagine.
It was it was a good job.
Yeah. So these were photos that had been given to the society, plus John's
Had been loaned.
Yes.
Some were John's.
Yeah.
I took quite a lot down for John to copy. Quite a lot. Took a photograph of me when I was in a big group at Heybridge School and could still name most of the pupils on the picture. From those days. And yes, there were big groups that he was just loaned and he copied them and handed them back. We had a lot of Charlie Tate's photographs. His wife loaned them to us after Charlie died. And all sorts of people loaned photographs to John, and he spent hours copying them, and we spent hours writing them up.
That's a very important part
and
of
then
the
they
society.
They were indexed into groups according to the road, or if it was the prom, or if it was the river, or if it was Heybridge, different groups.
Excellent.
So that if you wanted a picture of Heybridge Street, you knew just where to look in the shoeboxes. It was was a good job.
Very good. Yeah, very
I enjoyed doing it, very much. And was very proud when I went up to the Meldoon Centre and saw them all on the screen up there, sat and looked at them for ages with memories of who had loaned them to us. And
many hours of good work there.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yeah, many.
That's great. Thank you, Betty.